Your SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is loading now. Today's SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is sponsored by Purdy Insurance, Market Street, Sunbury, and online at PurdyInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Throws to Robinson in space, gets away from Reed, swings it back to the near side of the field. It's wide open. 40, 50, near side, 45, cuts back to his right to the 40, 35, to the 30. Allen Robinson with a highlight film run to the 20, 10, 5, touchdown Penn State. Allen Robinson starts from the far side of the field, then swings it to the near side of the field, brings it back to the far side of the field, and Penn State's on the board.
It'll be Bruner. He's got some running room to the middle of the field, to the 10, to the 5, touchdown Shikellamy. Kimberling on the draw, wide open field. To the 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown, Shikellamy. Kimberling didn't even get a look from the defense.
Hackenberg's in the gun, gets the snap, back to pass. Trouble, throws, caught the 10 to the 5, to the end zone, touchdown, Penn State. Brandon Felder and the Nittany Lions cap a 79-yard drive to get on the board.
Kimberling back to pass, he's looking all the way for Dunn. Leads Dunn a little bit, Dunn makes the catch at the 15, 10, 5, touchdown, Shikellamy. And here comes the pass by Schlegel. He has a man open. Touchdown, Shikellamy. Schaefer catches it in the end zone.
That's your Monday montage of touchdowns with Penn State and Shikellamy, as heard here on WKOK. Coming up this week, more Penn State football on Saturday. We'll talk more about that as the week goes on. Shikellamy football as well, wrapping up the regular season on the road in Milton. And we'll set the playoff scenarios for you as well. And that particular game has a lot to do with where everybody's going to be in Week 11. Looks like Shikellamy is guaranteed now a spot in the playoffs. But as I said, when those numbers get crunched, we'll tell you more about that later on this week. Of course, the Eagles and Steelers losing last night, or yesterday rather. Bucknell with an enormous win over Lehigh. Lehigh ranked 15th in the country in FCS. That won't happen anymore as they just out and out dismantled Lehigh. Lehigh, an offense that gives about, ends up running about 70 to 80 plays a game. I don't even think got into the 70s this particular week. And, you know, it's like Steve has said, with these up-tempo offenses, what's the best way to stop an up-tempo offense? Don't let them on the field. And Bucknell did that. And they took it right out of the gate with a fumble on the opening kickoff, ended up getting 3 points out of that, then had a three and out for Lehigh, and then took the next possession into the end zone. And it was 10-0 before Lehigh really knew what hit him. And they just kept scoring and scoring. And that's what you have to do against a team like Lehigh that can score at will whenever they want and however they want. But Bucknell's defense doing the job. Lots of turnovers. Steinbeck with two interceptions yesterday. Saturday, rather. So big day for the Bison on homecoming, getting a win over their rival Lehigh. We'll talk all about that and whatever you want to talk about as well on the hotline at 800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. Steve will be in the Sunbury Motor Studio in mere moments. Today's show sponsored by Purdy Insurance, Market Street, Sunbury. Visit them online at purdyinsurance.com and find out what they can do for you. First, here's Inside Penn State Athletics from Learfield Sports.
On the Penn State Sports Network, presented by Sands Bethlehem, it's time for Inside Penn State Athletics, brought to you by McClanahan's. Check us out at PennStateRoom.com. Here's Steve Jones.
It was all Ohio State Saturday night in Columbus as the Buckeyes beat the Nittany Lions by a score of 63-14. And coming up on Inside Penn State Athletics, presented by McClanahan's, we'll hear from head coach Bill O'Brien as we continue on the Penn State Sports Network, presented by Sands Bethlehem from Learfield Sports.
Waiting in line at the PA Turnpike toll booths? What are you waiting for? Get Easy Pass. Easy Pass users pay about 25% less than cash customers. With Easy Pass, you'll pay less and enjoy the ease of turnpike travel without stopping for cash or tickets. Don't waste time and money idling in cash-only lines. Switch to Easy Pass and save 25%. Pick up one today at Wegmans and Walmart stores and AAA offices statewide. Or visit paturnpike.com. Easy Pass. What are you waiting for?
Discover the ultimate outlet experience. The Outlets at Sam's Bethlehem is your ideal shopping destination. High-end selections at affordable prices. This is where it's at. Home to your favorite designer brands and premium labels, including Coach Factory, Guess Factory Store, DKNY, Under Armour, Tommy Hilfiger, Chico's Outlet, and so much more. Treat yourself to the finer things in life for less. Step into style at the Outlets at Sam's Bethlehem, where fashion meets fabulous.
It was all Ohio State Saturday night in Columbus as the Buckeyes beat the Nittany Lions 63-14. During the course of the game, quarterback Christian Hackenberg was bumped up. Head coach Bill O'Brien addressed that with the media after the game.
Yeah, I think he on the play where they were called for offsides, and then one of their guys came in and slammed him to the ground. He slammed him on his shoulder. So we'll have to get that checked out.
Is that the first half play you're talking about?
Yeah. Okay. And so he tried to go. He's a tough kid, man. Got a lot of tough kids. He tried to go, and, he just didn't feel good about throwing. He wanted to keep going, and I felt it was in the best interest of the team at that point to go with Tyler Ferguson. I thought Tyler went in there and did some decent things.
How would you evaluate Christian's performance in the first half?
Oh, you know, I think the first drive of the game, we moved the balls like a 13-play drive, and then I called a play down there in the red area. Probably could have called a better play. I thought he played okay.
Bill, how would you evaluate the defense's performance tonight?
I take full responsibility for this loss. You know, I'm not going to sit here and evaluate this and evaluate that.
The Nittany Lions will take on Illinois Saturday in Beaver Stadium. Kickoff is set for noon. We're on beginning at 10:30.
Inside Penn State Athletics has been brought to you by McClanahan's. Check us out on PennStateRoom.com.
Insuring your business is serious stuff. You don't need gimmicks or cutesy mascots or punchlines. You certainly don't want red tape. You just want the right coverage at the right price. We're as serious about insuring your business as you are about running it. Selective. Response is everything.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Pretty Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at prettyinsurance.com. Find out what Pretty Insurance can do for you.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on pre-auction blowout.
Like a 2011 Jeep Grand Cherokee Laredo with remaining factory warranty just $25,960. 2009 Ford Taurus SEL all-wheel drive to plow through snow, $14,832. 2013 Ford F-150 4x4, just $29,399 after all discounts. 2014 Ford Fiesta SE, just $17,120. And a well-maintained, fully serviced and inspected 2011 Ford Escape XLT, just $16,476. Call 570-286-7746.
All come with a Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout.
See the full inventory and schedule a test drive and see what your trade is worth, too, at sunburymotors.com.
At the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at our dealership, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
You okay there?
Yeah, deep voice guy wanted a second chance to talk.
Oh, all right.
You know, those guys with those deep voices want to use them every chance they can. I wouldn't know anything about it.
No, neither would I. But that's fine.
You know, I talked about all the interesting games this weekend at football. I didn't even touch on the weirdest World Series ever to this point.
No, nobody's really talked about it. A lot of people, I did not see Game 3, obviously. But when I saw the play, it was the right call.
Yeah, that was the call. There's no argument about that call.
I mean, do they need to revise the rule?
Yes.
They need to revise the rule. That's fine.
I think the word intent needs to be in there.
Right.
With intent to impede.
Because believe me, he is not, he's not trying to do anything there except, he was just trying to get up. I mean, he was not like, hey, I'm going to stop this guy. No, he wasn't trying to stop him. So, He was not trying to stop him. So that was so his intent was not to disrupt. Okay.
I think actually in Little League it is worded as with obstruction with intent to disrupt the runner.
Yeah, I mean, but he wasn't trying 100%. To do that.
No, not at all.
He wasn't trying to do that.
Although I'm not 100% sure about that, but that's one call I don't think I've ever made because I've always looked for the intent for obstruction.
Right. Yeah.
But so you had that play, and then you follow that up the next night with a rookie getting picked off first base for the final out, which I understand is not only the first time in World Series history, but the first time in playoff history that a game has ended with a pickoff play.
Right. 2007 World Series, in the ninth inning in Game 2, Matt Holliday was picked off by Jonathan Papelbon, which is a rarity for Papelbon to begin with. He is not a guy that throws to first a lot, but he picked off Holliday, but it was not, I think it was the second out of the inning. It wasn't the last out.
It wasn't a game-ending one.
No, it was important. It was a 2-1 game. So that's it's been quite a World Series in a lot of ways. The pitching has been outstanding. The defense has not, and the hitting has been. We don't know. In part because of the pitching.
Well, so. I was going to say, is it lackluster hitting or is it just decent pitching?
Combination of both. Combination of both. And I also think that when you get to the National League Park, the game dies.
Well, the National League team definitely has an advantage every, you know, every so many innings.
I mean, you know, you can talk strategy all you want. I'm just not going to be a believer in it. And I know I'm in a National League area. If we're doing this show in Massachusetts, everybody's right now looking at me saying, "You're darn right. This is bad." Having the pitcher hit. I mean, when Lynn comes to the plate and he's batting 074 in the year, you're like, "You have to be kidding me, really?"
But let's say that they're not going to change it. Major League Baseball does not look like they're in any hurry to change
this
rule.
No, they're not. They're not.
Shouldn't you have some rule in play for, as we've said many times, all these interleague games that are going on, and include the All-Star Game and the World Series in that?
No, the way they're doing it now, based on the rules, is the right way to do it. If you're in the National League Park, you play by National League rules. If you're in the American League Park, you play by American League rules.
I mean, I guess in the intent, yeah, but I just don't know that it's the right way to do it. If you're going to keep the DH in the National League, why punish the American League for not? That doesn't make any sense.
No. You know what? I get where we're going with this thing. I got it. But it's just not. Watching the pitcher hit is not entertaining baseball. You're just never going to be able to convince me of that. You're never going to be able to convince me that watching the pitcher hit is entertaining baseball. I mean, for goodness sakes, I mean, and the odd thing is, a lot, except for making that run to first base, a lot of them are not very good at fielding their position either. It's just, you know, and watching the eighth and ninth place hitters out there, it's, I'm sorry, I go to the game, I'd rather see Mike Napoli hit. I'd rather see Alan Craig hit. I mean, it's simple as that.
You all right with the big guy playing first base?
What, Matt Adams? He'd be playing first base anyway.
No. In a National League game.
Well,
Adams wasn't playing first base the other night, I don't think.
Yeah, he's played first base the whole series.
See, I thought they moved him. I thought they bumped him because of the DH having to be out.
No, Craig can't move. Craig can't move. That's his problem. Now, did he play game three? I don't know. I didn't see game three at all. All I know is Adams was the starter last night. He's been the starter in the three of the four games I've watched. But there's nothing intriguing about watching Lance Lynn and Clay Buchholz hit. I'm sorry. It's, you know, nationally people will be like, I love, you know, you can pound your fist all you want, but you're losing young people left and right. They aren't watching the games. Okay? They aren't. Demographics show they aren't watching the games. Okay? They want, you know, today's youth want to see a little quicker pace, and they want to see offense. And if you happen to have along the way a 2-1 brilliantly pitched game, people love that. They understand the intensity and the tension of that. They do. They understand that. And that's fine. But...
Yeah, Ortiz, by the way, was the first baseman in game.
Ortiz has been the first baseman all the way through. I thought you were asking about Adams.
No. I was referring to Ortiz playing first base.
Ortiz has been the first baseman in St. Louis. But he's 8-for-11 in the series. You can't take him out.
I agree. That's why I think he was playing first base in that game.
Yeah. I mean, you can't take him out. And he'll be the starter tonight at first base for the Red Sox again. Can't take him out. He's 8-for-11 in the series.
I mean, the guy's range is 2 inches to the left and 2 inches to the right now. But
regardless, he has to play. That's fine. But, I have no problem with
him
playing.
He has to play.
I mean, that to me is a no-brainer decision. Then late in the game, you put Napoli in. But it's a much more fun game to watch with Napoli and Alan Craig both playing and hitting as opposed to, oh, goodness, here comes Lance Lynn. Everybody buckle down. Oh, Clay Buchholz. He's 1-for-3 in his career at the plate. Everybody, look, a 333 hitting pitcher.
1-for-3 for his career.
He is. He's 1-for-3 in his career.
I know. It just sounds funny.
Me. And I've got nationally people telling me, oh, that's great baseball. No, it's not. I don't want to watch them hit or run the bases. That's called... Okay, those are two words. Bad baseball.
I'm a convert. I've converted.
All right, next half hour. Talk about Saturday night.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. You can go to purdyinsurance.com. I am here in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15.
Hummel's Wharf.
Great to be with you on a gorgeous day. Really beautiful out. Kevin went out already, picked up his Christmas tree.
I did, a couple of weeks ago. Why not? It was a great day. I don't have to freeze now.
See, you're all set. Tagged it.
Yeah, I did not cut it down, though.
You're going to go out to Kohl's later on, see the tag tree, and say, why did we pick that one?
It only took 45 minutes to find the perfect tree.
45 minutes.
Well, I'm very picky.
Took you 45 minutes. I saw Rebecca... it was during the summertime, yeah, I would guess, right?
Yeah.
June, July,
yeah, something like that.
She hugged me, wouldn't let go. She said, don't leave. I said, okay, fine.
Well, I told her, I said, which would you rather do? Well, it's 60 degrees outside and walk around for a little while, or would you rather do it when the wind's blowing and it's about 30 degrees? Because you said we were going to Kohl's. I'm thinking, oh, we're going to go to the maze. This will be fun. No, not with my husband. We go to pick out our tree in October.
Yes. You made fun of me because of lights, and of course, then I had to postpone it. So.
Well, I figured I knew you wouldn't
I was forced to postpone for bad reasons.
Yes.
So at some point, I'll have to figure out.
over the next...
Well, I was gladly going to come to your house and do it for you, but unfortunately, the security at your house would not let me in the gate.
Believe me, it's because it'd be... you're the reason gated communities exist. Now, okay, so I don't live in a gated community. But, yeah. All right. Saturday night. First and foremost, I want to say that I think it's great that Penn State has a very passionate fan base. That's a good thing. The last thing you want is a... is a lackluster, oh well, fan base. I want one that is passionate, aggressive, suggestive, and understands when very few of their suggestions are taken. But I like that. We're in an era right now, and this is temporary. But over decades, here have been the expectations for Penn State. Must be in the picture to compete for the national championship, which along the way means that you obviously are competing for the Big Ten championship and getting as high in the bowl tier as possible. If you can't get to the national championship game, get to a BCS game. If you can't get to that, get to as high on the poll as you can. Rose Bowl, which is a BCS game, or Capital One Epic. So that's been the expectation of the fan base here. Win and graduate players. Win, graduate players. Go as far as you can, graduate players. Okay, that's been the on the same plane, the same tier for a long time here. At the moment, I think expectations, only for the moment, and then should kick back into what the standard expectation. The standard for the moment has to be, in my personal opinion, a bit different. And there has to be a realization as to what it is. When you go out there and there's 85 scholarship guys on the other side of the field, and you have 51, that's an issue. Because remember, Penn State has 61 scholarship players. Well, 8 of them are being redshirted. So, I mean, it's a choice by the staff as to what they want to do with them, you know, long term. And then 2 did not make the trip. And actually, it's got to be less than that, right? Well, I guess no. I guess we're counting the 3 scholarship players that are, that would be 64. So that makes sense. So you had 61 available, 8 fewer gets it down to 53 because they're being redshirted. Then 2, Richie Anderson, because there's a standard here that has existed for decades that academics comes first, was kept back to work on the books, and Daquan Davis was banged up. So now you're at 51 guys. That takes away really a lot of your flexibility when you're doing things personnel-wise. It really does. You can't just, like, dial up, you know, we're going to send a couple extra guys in here, here, and here, and maybe we can change the tone of the game. Can't do it. All right. I understand it. And because of that, there has to be, at least in my opinion, a cherishing of the victories whenever you can get them and want to avoid, obviously, at all costs, what we saw Saturday night. Perfect storm environment. 8 o'clock game. 105,000, fourth-ranked team BCS playing like the fourth-ranked team of the BCS. Now, the passionate fan base, which I appreciate very much, wants explanations. And, in some cases, want, what the heck, let's let heads roll. Okay. Despite everything, there are very few staffs or head coaches that could have negotiated all of this with a 12-7 record. And essentially it's 12-5 their last 17 games once they get their sea legs. There's very few that could have done that. Because the intent of the sanctions is to gut the place. Okay? These sanctions were not put in place to, like, okay, you know what? It's not like the nun in the classroom when you're growing up and you get slapped with the ruler. That's not what these were. This was a hammer to the head. You're going to have 10 fewer scholarships than anybody else. Going to be over a long period of time. No bowl game, no championship game, no shot, nothing. No incentive. Now, some things they have not counted on. They did not count on the leadership of last year's senior class. or the head coaches, and nor did they count on your passion. They thought that you would just go away and just not show up at games and just feel like, you know, you're accepting everything at their word and they're gutting the place. Well, you haven't accepted everything at their word at all. You've been quite the opposite. And they're averaging, what, 95, 96,000? They're only a couple thousand total tickets behind all of last year's sale, with three more to go, and the sale in Nebraska was very strong the last I heard. They didn't count on the strength of the partnership between the fan base and the program. And that's been very important moving forward because of recruiting and also the impact that could be made in the stands. Saturday night for Penn State, fill in the blank as to what word fits you. The final score says a lot. But there's still five more games left in this season. Three of them are here. And one of the more important things today is you cannot allow Ohio State to beat you twice. In other words, you can't allow a hangover of depression to suddenly affect your preparation, then suddenly affect how you play on Saturday. You do that, now you have big problems. It's going to be their ability, top down, to say, forget it. It's done, okay? They're great. We can still pick up some pelts along the way and win some games starting on Saturday at home. They take that attitude in, they practice like that, they're going to be fine on Saturday. And as for the passionate fan base, they're needed more than ever. They're up in arms, they're upset. They're not ho-humming it. I just think now and maybe in the next year, just for the moment, a different standard has to take place, because at the moment you can't compete for a Big Ten championship or can't compete at that next level yet. Because, what, you know, let's face it, the intent was to wreck the program. That was the intent. You're going to pay dearly. So, it's, you know, there are those who say that SMU getting the death penalty, and it took them 20-plus years to really get themselves back for the death penalty. There are those who say that this is as severe as the death penalty. I disagree, because when you're shut down, you can't recruit anybody. So this would be the second most severe, to me, sanction you can get. Now, have they been given a fighting chance? Because they now have additional scholarships coming their way? Yes, they've been given a fighting chance. And I believe next year, with the expanded bowl picture and continued positive reports, that Penn State will get a bowl game next year, or a chance at it. You have to win six games, though. You have to win six games. And I think it's just, I mean, it's only for the moment. But I think there has to be a genuine understanding as to what you're watching and dealing with. That because I think the standard has to be a bit different for the moment. And then I would say by 2015, I think you start to revise that standard back up where it belongs. But now, maybe into next year, just a temporary cherish everyone you can get kind of standard. Because they're going to give you all they have. There's no question. They're going to give you all they have as a staff, players, the whole thing. They're going to give you all you have. Now it's a question of how it plays out. They have five more games. These seniors, the John Urschels, the Glenn Carsons, Malcolm Willis, players like that. Ty Howell, saw his parents on Saturday morning. Adam Gress, Brandon Felder. This is their last time through. They have three more games to run through the tunnel at Beaver Stadium. All of those guys have given a lot to the program. all of them have been through in the last 23 months, almost 24 months now, have gone through things that no other college players have ever had to go through. That's why my personal opinion is temporarily a different standard has to be in place.
Steve, we got Tony from Shamokin on the line for you.
Hi, Tony. How are you today?
Hey, hiya. From what I understood, Hull and Ben Klein were not at 100% Saturday night. And
no,
really had no replacements.
No, Hall's been fighting through it. I think he's better than he was before, but he's not 100%. And Klein, yeah, with that shoulder, is not going to be 100% all season. I mean, it's just not going to be. So they're basically, you're correct, Tony, gutting it out.
And a lot of people try to associate this with a Ohio State tape back from, was it 1994?
Yeah.
Now, the big difference there is we beat a fully staffed Ohio State team.
Sure, they were the 14th ranked team in the country that day.
Right, and they were pretty high in the Big Ten in defense, if I remember.
They were very high.
The only question I have, was there anybody on the staff that was still there?
No, of course not.
That was my question when I heard that same thing.
Yeah, I mean, what does it mean to them, you know? And the sanctions, I mean, yeah, they play a big part of it. And the coach on the other side of the field, he had to know that and to pull some of the shenanigans he pulled, and you know what I mean. That's completely uncalled for. And when Ohio State plays Michigan, how do they decide which one of the teams gets the calls? Because this is getting beyond ridiculous, watching Ohio State. I mean, it's not just this year, it's every year. And they're obvious. That mugging of Robinson by the All-American, they get those calls, according to the announcers. That was so obvious, and they don't call it. I mean, it wasn't going to affect the outcome of the game, but, you know, the game has rules. And our time will come. And payback is, well, you know the word.
Bad.
Yep. And I'll tell you one thing, though. A bottle of Jameson did not help.
Okay.
That, you know, hey, listen, have a good day, and I think we're going to be all right the rest of the year.
I feel the same way about that, Tony. Thank you.
And Steve, Bill from Milton on the line for you.
Hi, Bill. Thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, Steve, you talked about the bowl game possibly down the road if the sanctions work out. But all the bowl selections, more or less, I mean, you almost have to be invited. Correct to almost all the bowl games except for the Rose Bowl and the BC Bowl.
Right, you have to be invited.
Do you think that these other bowl teams and they're putting on these bowls might kind of shun Penn State because of what happened with Sandusky and say, look, we don't want to get into that with all the publicity, because you know it's going to be talked about the first bowl game that comes up. You know, Jerry Sandusky is going to be talked about regardless. You know, it is now just on regular TV. But do you think that's going to hurt your bowl selection chances down the road?
Absolutely not, because it's actually going to play the opposite way, Bill. And the reason it'll play the opposite way is this. When they invite a Penn State to go, because Penn State hasn't gone to a bowl game in a couple of years, there's a good possibility that people will travel in droves just to be a part of it. And to them, that's the biggest part of it. How many people for your Visitors and Convention Bureau can you get into town, which then fills your hotels, fills your restaurants, and so forth? That's going to be a factor, actually, in getting them bumped up the tier and not down the tier.
Okay. One other question I have, and then I'll get off the line. When Myers, there Saturday, when he contested the first down there, with the score being what it was, and he knows on the sidelines that there was just no way that, you know, they were being outmanned. What was the point of questioning that type of a call during the game the way it was. I didn't mind the rest of his play as coaching, but to me, that I thought was a little bit much that you would ask for a review for something like that. It's like, let the kids play. It was that close. You know, why? You know, that was the only thing I thought that he was kind of out of line with during the game. What's your thoughts on that?
Bill, the only thing I didn't like about it, because, I mean, it turned out he was right, and he won his challenge. But the only part I didn't like about it was, look, it's a night game. It's 56-7. Hey, why waste everybody's time?
Correct.
Why waste the officials' time? Why waste the fans' time? Why waste everybody? Why waste the 5 minutes doing it? I mean, that's
right.
The part that really bothered me was the fact that why waste everybody's time? I mean, was he correct? Yes, he was correct. Did he win his challenge? Yes, he won his challenge. But I don't understand, based on the situation, why you waste everybody's time with it. Don't you want to just get out of there at some point and just say, look, got enough, let's go?
You know, the question that hit my mind watching it is, what's the gain here? You're already winning the game. The game is, in essence, over. All you're doing, as you said, Steve, is delaying the game even further for no particular bonus. It's not like you get more BCS points if you win a challenge.
And he's putting his first stringers back out there again.
I was okay with how he handled personnel. I had zero problem with that at all.
Well, I thought that was a little ridiculous. I mean, you know what? I like to watch Penn State. I'm a Pittsburgh Steeler fan, and I've watched other games, and I'm sure there's a lot of close first downs that if a coach could get a review and get a measurement, there would be some that would be overturned that were that close. But a lot of them are like, they look at where they are in the game, what part of the field they're in, and they're like, oh, let's just forget about it. Let's just get our defense out there. And you know what I mean? Because there is close calls. And if you would review every first down that was that close, there would be quite a few, I think, that you could see that if the officials would look at it really hard, they might overturn. You know?
Well, in college, you're allowed only one challenge a game.
Mm-hmm.
And the risk is a timeout. For him, there was absolutely zero risk.
Right.
Okay? Zero risk at all. You're winning 56-7. You lose a timeout. Whoop-de-doo. I mean, big deal.
Yeah.
I mean, it literally had no risk doing it.
Yeah.
I just didn't like the fact that why did he waste everybody's time in doing it? Was he correct that he challenged it and won? Absolutely, because he challenged it and he won. Allen Robinson was short of the mark. Okay? So he's correct. But why did he bother wasting everybody's time in the game? Why did he make the fans sit there longer? Why did he make, you know, everybody working up there had to sit there longer? I mean, it's a few minutes, but still. At some point, don't you say, look, okay, guys, let's just get out of here. Come on, let's go.
Urban Meyer owes me 5 minutes of my life back.
No, he doesn't. Believe me, he owes me nothing, but at the same time, what he did was a waste of time. He won it, but it was a waste of time and had served no purpose.
Yeah, I didn't go for that either. That was, you know, you're already depressed after getting the beating they did, and then you find out one first down they're close to maybe scoring, and you know, and then you find out it's reversed. It's just, they just didn't have no breaks whatsoever. They just didn't have any.
But they were short. They were short, and it was the correct call, and his challenge is correct. I just don't like the fact that he sits there and thinks, oh, I'm going to challenge the call. You're up 56-7. Use some common sense. Let's get out of here.
You know, it's kind of funny. Last weekend we had, the two weekends with the Michigan with the four overtimes and the Pittsburgh win. And then this weekend both my teams got plummeted.
Bill, come on. I need to cheer you up. Why don't you go over to Kohl's with Kevin and pick out a Christmas tree?
The only thing I can do is put on the girls' volleyball and hope they win on Friday and get a good seat at the NCAA tournament. You know what I mean? That's my only hope now.
Well, Deja McClendon's actually taking my class.
Oh, is she?
Yeah, I kid Russ. I kid Russ all the time. I said, "Yeah, I have such power now." She's doing well in class, by the way.
This year than they did last year, you know.
They are. Well, yeah, one more step, right? One more step.
Yeah. So, okay. Thanks for taking my call, Steve.
Bill, it's always a pleasure. Thank you. 888-819-97. Excuse me, it's 800-795-9565, 800-795-9565. You like to jump in. 800-795-9565. Today's show, by the way, brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. When you have a long-established, reputation like Purdy does and the Purdy family, they have long-term repeat customers, and there's a great reason for it. They really take good care of their customers. They find you the best rates and exactly the plan that fits you. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. So, you know, now that you've picked out the tree, when are you going to get put lights up?
I don't know. I haven't gotten that far yet.
Joe Susan tomorrow, by the way. Later in the week, Bill King from Sirius XM. Also later in the week, Ron Cook, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette.
Cookie's back.
Cookie is back. So, yeah, looking forward to talking with Ron. And we are still working tirelessly on Jim Doyle. All right, we head to the top of the hour and news from CBS. And then Sarah Bartlett, who does a better job than they do. I'd like to thank Geraldo for being our lead-in. Thank you, Geraldo.
The Steve Jones Show is next.
Well, at least it was an easy name.